Today on the radio news or tomorrow in your newspaper, you will hear or read about another unbelievable kidnapping where someone abducts an innocent child. Maybe you didn't have to read about it. Maybe it happened last night on your street. We see their faces on milk cartons, the missing children. Well, today we're going to talk about the largest and most violent kidnapping in history and how it affects you personally. We have the forensic report on the devil's fingerprints on Beyond Today.
Join our host Gary Petty and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
It wasn't a national news story that got a lot of attention. A little girl missing in the Rocky Mountains. After a number of days, she was found in a public park outhouse, suffering from physical abuse and exposure to the elements. When asked what she was doing, knee-deep in sewage, she answered, "I live here." The terrible kidnapping and abuse of children happens all the time. We're going to do some research into another kidnapping here on Beyond Today, the greatest kidnapping in history, a kidnapping where the victims are abused and left to suffer until they accept their terrible state as normal. This kidnapping affects you and me personally. It affects us because we're the victims. Imagine, if you will, this globe with billions of people. Picture bars encasing this world. From a distance, you can see all the suffering and poverty and violence and war and hatred. Well, there is a real being we call Satan. He has kidnapped and imprisoned humanity. How did this happen? And how can you find freedom from this prison? To discuss the global kidnapping that has taken place, we're joined by Pastor Don Henson. Don, you know, many people go through life with sort of a vague feeling that they're a victim, that something's controlling them. So we come up with conspiracy theories and all kinds of things. Yeah. Why do we feel this way?
Well, thank you, Gary. You know, in a real sense, people genuinely are victims. When people look at their lives in particular, and they look at the way that the world is going and the things that are happening around them, and they can become easily disillusioned and feel detached and lost because their life is not continuing the way that they wanted it to, and life in general seems to be in turmoil on this earth, and so many terrible things are happening. So when you think about the foundation that they're building their lives on, it maybe helps us to see why we get this kind of a sense of victim mentality. For one thing, many of us don't have a real strong family background that we can build on. We don't have the strength of having learned from a strong family setting and environment. Also, when you look at the education system, our education system has really let us down. It does not teach values. Not only does our education system not teach values, it seems to teach that we don't need values or that everything is equal in terms of what's right or what's wrong. And so that's very disillusioning as far as how we view life. And you can look at entertainment as well. Mm-hmm. Entertainment fills our lives with all kinds of strange fantasies of odd lifestyles and wealth and personalities, and it's not real at all, and yet we deluge ourselves with those kinds of concepts and ideas. So it's not at all difficult to understand why it is that people are disillusioned and victimized because life is not going the way that they thought that it would.
It depends on where you start from. If you start with a viewpoint of life that won't work, it's not going to work. So you end up, something's wrong. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. Now, when we approach life, though, with this viewpoint of being a victim, What happens is it's hard to make positive change without taking personal responsibility. But if you see life as a victim, it's hard to take personal responsibility because it's really not your fault. It's somebody else's fault. So it is difficult, isn't it, to make positive change unless we break through this idea that we're victims.
That has a whole number, a range of different effects on our life when we feel like we're victimized. If we're continually living in a sense of frustration and a lack of control and a lack of direction and purpose, then yes, it's going to be really hard to get a handle on life and to view it in a positive way and to create the positive direction that we'd like. A life that flourishes and a life that is meaningful, a life that is going somewhere, is one that has direction, one that has purpose. And the thing about having that sense of purpose and meaning is that even when we have events that take place in our lives that are very difficult for us, that are challenging and disappointing, we still can have a sense of that purpose. And our purpose rises above the circumstances. And we even can look at circumstances in the world around us, and we can still see that something positive is happening, and we don't have to feel like we're totally controlled or victimized by what's going on in the world.
I mentioned earlier that the entire earth has been kidnapped. Now, of course, we believe in the Creator God. We believe in the God of the Bible. That's why we're sitting here discussing this today. We believe that God is brilliant. We believe He's love. He's beauty. He's amazing. And here's this God of brilliance and love. And we created the world. He created humanity. And yet we look at the world around us, and this isn't a world of love. It's not a world of brilliance. It's not a world of beauty. What happened? How did we get this way?
That is one of the most pervasive questions that man faces. Where did all this evil come from? And when we understand the setting or the circumstances we're in, we realize that God, who did create this world to be different than it is, God, who will see to it that this world is different than it is, but God has an adversary. God has, there's a being there who is doing his best, working without interruption, tirelessly, to thwart, to interrupt, to frustrate God's plan, and to do whatever harm he can to mankind. Now, that adversary, of course, is Satan. It's the devil. And the Bible gives us a little bit of glimpses of his character. We can put together a little character sketch by some of the passages we read about him. Jesus Christ, for example, said that Satan is a liar and a murderer. Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul said that Satan is an angel of darkness who appears as light. In other words, he is so deceptive and powerfully able to influence us that he can make us think the opposite of what's true. The Apostle Peter said that that Satan is like a roaring lion, and he's going about seeking to destroy or to devour those who are unaware of him. And so one of the ways that he consumes us or devours us is by this capturing of us, this victimizing of us, and confusing our view of life.
But in our enlightened society, it's hard to accept, for many people to accept that there's a Satan. We like to believe that we're in control of our own minds, we're in control of our own destiny. And the idea that there is a being that we can't see, that it affects globally people. He's filled with hatred, he's filled with violence, he's filled with racism, and he creates all this, and he's driving globally humanity in a certain direction, but personally he's driving us. That's hard for us to accept.
Yeah, it is hard for us to accept, and for one reason, Satan is hidden behind and masked himself so that people don't even seriously, in many cases, think of him as that he's really there, and that he's hidden or deceived people into thinking that he doesn't even exist. And sometimes he's a kind of a cartoonish character that people laugh at. But the fact is, and the Apostle Paul, again, in Ephesians, the second chapter, refers to Satan as the prince of the power of the air. Now, that implies that Satan has the ability to affect our feelings and our emotions and our reactions. And as you said, Satan is an extremely hostile and angry being. That's probably the primary characteristic of Satan. And he's able to influence the way that we feel and the way that we react and our moods and our emotions by that power that he has.
It's often been said that the greatest lie that Satan has ever told is that he doesn't exist. You've been kidnapped. We're going to come back and tell you how you can find freedom right after this.
If you were the devil bent on killing the human race, you'd try to probably convince the world you don't even exist. That addictions, violence, and hate are normal human impulses when really your power influences people to destroy themselves. Understand why the world can't get beyond arrogance, anger, and greed in your free copy of Is There Really a Devil? Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv to see the supernatural source of conflicts and tragedies. Answer the big questions about good and evil in the world. Is the existence of the devil just a big joke found in the Bible or the absolute fact you can't read about anywhere else? Make sense of our world by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil?
When you go online to beyondtoday.tv, be sure and order Is There Really a Devil? This is a very important booklet. It's absolutely free. In fact, you may have children or grandchildren that need to read this book, because Satan is real and he affects their lives, and they need to know about that. So you can order a copy for yourself, order a copy for members of your family. Make sure they get this material because it's very important. In the last segment, we were talking about the reality of Satan or the devil. Now, Don, we were talking about how the Bible, different ways it describes him. And in one place, it says he's the God of this world. Now, we know he's not the creator God.
Right.
And we know that he somehow didn't overthrow God and take control. So God must have given him permission. Mm-hmm. So how did he become the God of this world?
Well, again, Gary, that's one of those questions that people are always wondering. Where did Satan come from? And why does Satan exist? Did God create Satan, the devil? And it's an interesting story, and one that I think many people are just not familiar with at all. First of all, it's important that, of course, Satan is called the god of this world with a little g, with a small g. He's not the god, but he has authority and responsibility. But again, how did that come to be? The Bible reveals in a couple of chapters in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, the story of a being named Lucifer. He is a beautiful archangel who dwelled and worked with God at his throne. And
created by God.
He was created by God, definitely. And he was what maybe the pinnacle of God's creation in his beauty and in his what he was, the abilities and talents that God gave to him. But we read in those contexts also that Satan allowed iniquity to come into his mind. He had a choice, and he chose to be evil. He chose
so the angels have free will.
They have the ability to choose, and that's what Lucifer did, was he chose to allow this iniquity to build up within him. Now, based on his rebellious acts, we can assume, or we can deduce, that what Satan had, this iniquity, was pride. He actually became, even though he was a created being, he came to think of himself as superior to God. And most likely he felt he had better ideas and better ways of doing things. And he had, he began to assume that he could take the role of God, and he did rebel against God, and he did try to overthrow God. Well, God cast him back to the earth, and he has since that time been confined to the earth, and he is the one who God has allowed to have influence over the earth. Perhaps that was why he was created in the first place. The word Lucifer means a light bringer. Maybe his role would have been to bring truth and to educate and encourage mankind to follow God. Well, he has turned that great teaching ability around, and now he has become the great deceiver of mankind, and he has become the adversary. That's what the word Satan means, is that he's the adversary, the enemy of God.
But obviously God allowed him to bring or expose human beings to
yes,
evil,
yes.
Because that's what he embodies now. He embodies yes. everything that's ugly. He embodies evil and hatred and all the destructiveness we see in the world around us. That's what he embodies. And obviously he didn't catch God off guard.
Right.
It's a funny thing about free choice. If we're going to have free choice, we have to be exposed to the choices.
Right.
And so here God allowed Satan to expose us. And in doing that, we end up being kidnapped. We end up following our kidnapper. Now, there is something very interesting that happens with people who are kidnapped, in which they, if they spend some time with their kidnapper, they can actually begin to sympathize with the kidnapper. They actually see the kidnapper as a victim and can actually begin to take on some of the characteristics of the kidnapper. And we see that happening. That's basically what's happened with humanity, isn't it?
Absolutely. We can see that trend or that development taking place. What you're referring to is called the Stockholm Syndrome. It's named after an event that took place, or a bank robbery and a hostage situation in Stockholm, Sweden, back in the 1970s. And there are a couple of interesting things about the Stockholm Syndrome that I find very interesting that apply to our discussion here today. First of all, when people fall under this influence of the Stockholm Syndrome, it takes only maybe 3 or 4 days.
That's amazing.
For them to turn around and to totally change psychologically and become dominated by and to accept this dominance over them by the person that's taken them, like this little girl. Mm-hmm. After just 3 or 4 days in that condition, she said, well, this is how I live. This is the way that life is. And so very much like what Satan has done to mankind, people are under his influence, and he has affected the way that we think and the way that we live and the way that our environment is. And people look around and think, well, this is the way life is. This is just the way life is supposed to be. And that's because of that strong psychological result that he has on us. The second item that's interesting about this Stockholm syndrome is that the kidnapped, the one who's been victimized or kidnapped, begins to receive small tokens of kindness from the kidnapper. And they, it leads them to think, well, this is the one who's taking care of me. For example, if a person is being held hostage, it might be a little crack in the window so they can get a little bit of light. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're given a little mat to sleep on or a crust of bread. And so the victim begins to think, well, I'm being taken care of and I'm being provided for. And then I have things in life that are making it livable.
So the kidnapper becomes a benefactor.
And that's exactly what Satan has become. And that's exactly what he does in this society. He gives little bits of kindness, little things that people enjoy or they like to participate in or things they look forward to. And it's just enough to keep people going and to give them this impression that, well, life in this life is good enough, and that I'm surviving, I'm being taken care of, and they tend to support or look to the one giving those things to them as their benefactor. But of course, in this case, people don't realize that it's Satan who's doing this, who's giving them those benefits.
Isn't it amazing when you think about it? Here, God wants to give us a perfect environment, a perfect life. He knows what joy is. He knows what happiness is. We get kidnapped, and here we are in the outhouse. But because he gives us these little bits and pieces of pleasure or fun or what we think is contentment, we think that's what life is. God really wants something much greater for us, and we're blinded to it by our kidnapper.
That's exactly right. God has a purpose for us. God has a direction. God has good things he's going to share with us. But it's all hidden behind this deceptive screen or this cloud that Satan has established that keeps us from actually understanding that.
You know, in one place in the Bible, it talks about how Satan can appear as an angel of light. That's why he's so deceptive. It seems to make sense to us because it appeals to our need for physical things. It appeals for our need for mental stimulation. I mean, we as human beings, we're designed to have curiosity. He can appeal to all those parts of us that God made. They're actually good to draw us into our own captivity. And it's just amazing when you look at the whole history of mankind and all the violence. And I'm not just talking about non-Christian environment or non-Christian societies. Christianity has accepted way too much of the kidnapper's ideals, and we just sort of stamp on it, well, this is God, and it's not. It's his way of thinking. It's his way of doing things, and we need to break out of that. You need to break out of that. You need to get control of your life, and your life can change, but you can't solve today's problems with the same old solutions. You'll simply arrive at the same old problems. We have some practical solutions for your life, so don't go away.
In a world of pain, conflict, and destruction, how can you explain so much evil? After all, is there really a devil? You need to understand the unseen source of human suffering. Make sense of our world by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil? Does God really exist? Scientists now say you can prove it. What's the best way to rear your children for success? Questions need positive answers to the world's greatest issues and your personal ones as well. That's what you'll get when you get your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription. You'll be glad you did.
When you go online to order your free booklet about the devil, we'll also send you a free subscription to The Good News. This comes out 6 times a year and contains all kinds of articles that will help you in your Christian life. And I really do urge you to get your free copy of Is There Really a Devil? And get a copy of this and give it to a child you know, maybe one of your children or a grandchild. This is very important information. They need to know that evil really exists. Now, you must also accept the fact that Satan exists before you can accept the influence he is having in creating the evil that surrounds us every day. You must also accept that God has a better way of life for you, and that you can break your feelings of being a victim and get out of this. You can break free of the mental and spiritual chains that control and enslave your life. You know, most Christians would agree that Aztec ritual sacrifices of human beings, or someone who believes in voodoo, well, yeah, that kind of person is kidnapped by Satan. that can Christians also be living under the sway of the great kidnapper? You know, in reality, no one really breaks free from this kind of slavery until we acknowledge just how much all of us have accepted the kidnapper's view of life. We can really see Satan's fingerprints on society when we see what looks like intelligent arguments that really lead to hurt and violence on others. An example, the worship of nature while devaluing human life. Now, let me explain what I mean, because this is especially true when discussing abortion. You know, many people claim that the fertilized egg of an endangered species of bird can warrant federal government protection as precious life. And I agree, we should protect those things. But at the same time, many people believe that the fertilized egg of a human being is, quote, disposable mass of tissue. Human beings are seen as something outside of creation. When we understand God's viewpoint, not Satan's, we see that human beings were put on this earth to take care of it. Human beings are made in the image of God. And we have unique value because we have a unique relationship with God as our Father. Now, another example where we see Satan's fingerprints is in this political promotion of family values while creating family scenarios and types of families that are actually against what God wants families to be.
Certainly, that's one of the great deceptions, again, that Satan has unloaded on mankind. It's really amazing, as you were talking about abortion and that particular subject, it's amazing how people can talk themselves into accepting or believing almost anything. And that applies, of course, with family values in general as well, that all these different lifestyles that we see portrayed in programs on television and in movies not only are supposedly humorous, but they're okay. And there's not one that's any better than any other. And people talk themselves into accepting that. Well, that kind of reasoning goes all the way back to the beginning. We can see Satan's fingerprints on mankind from the very beginning. That's what he told Eve. He told Eve that you can decide this for yourself. You don't need God. God's not telling you the whole story. You need to exercise your own judgment and do what you feel is right. So he encouraged her and convinced her to ignore what God had said and to instead pursue her own reasoning to come to a conclusion. So she ate the fruit from that wrong tree, and that was the beginning.
It's amazing. I mean, God doesn't want us to be automatons. But he does want us to be free from hurt and pain and violence and from stealing from each other. He wants to save us from all of that. So we're supposed to have freedom to be ourselves, but within parameters. What Satan says, the kidnapper, there's no parameters. And when he takes those away, we immediately become enslaved. We become enslaved to the basest part of our own nature. And we become enslaved to his way of life. So how can we break out of this sort of spiritual Stockholm syndrome that we have? How do we break out of that?
You mentioned parameters. It's a good way to approach this. Parameters would be instructions or laws. God has given us instructions. He's told us how we can live in a way that will produce good results. And if we stay within those parameters, if we understand God is the one who created life, knows how we should live life, and God has given us the choice. And we decide, and again, similar to what Eve's situation was, she chose whether she would obey God or not obey God. And that's the primary choice that we make. When we choose to obey God, then that will put us in a position to break away from that victimization, that hold that Satan has on us by his way of thinking and what he would encourage us to do.
You know, we want to start with, okay, 10 steps of making my life better. But this is number one. This is where we start. We have to accept the kidnapper has just given us a lot of lies. And we have to accept that we've actually believed them. And we have to step back and we have to say, okay, God, I want to break free from that. You show me what you really want. And we have to break free and understand that God actually knows how life works. You know, we don't use the word fun and God in the same sentence very often. Mm-hmm. We don't think of God wanting us to have fun or wanting us to be happy. And yet God created life to be joyful. And what we've done, we've accepted those little crumbs. You know, here's some bread and water instead of a wonderful meal because the kidnapper gives us, we think he's the benefactor. And yet God wants us to be happy. God wants us to have fun, doesn't he?
Well, of course he does. Again, this is one of the greatest deceptions that Satan has foisted off on people is that God is not fun. Who created fun? Yep. God created our personalities, our senses of humor, our the things that we enjoy in life are a gift from God. So to assume that Satan is the creator of fun and God is the creator of burden and of obligation and of making life difficult, that's exactly the opposite. But that is exactly what Satan wants us to believe. Paul said in Galatians 1, and we're talking about breaking away from that hold. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 that Jesus Christ came to deliver us from this present evil age. And so Jesus Christ is there to literally pull us out of that outhouse.
The outhouse, yes.
And to clean us up and to give us an opportunity to truly enjoy life. But we have to turn to Him and be willing to allow Him to deliver us.
You know, we don't even think of God as ever laughing. Here's the creator of the universe. He created humor. He mm-hmm. knows what humor mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. He created laughter. He created fun. He created the excitement we're supposed to feel when we're doing something that is within those parameters that brings us the excitement or joy. Or He created relationships. And I think that's one of the greatest areas where we fail so much is in the concept of relationships, because there we have these selfish ideals that the kidnapper has told us, and we end up destroying relationships instead of growing into these healthy relationships that God really wants for us.
God is not only a God of fun, He's a God of love. And He's the yes. one who tells us how we can establish the relationships that will really give us a solid foundation and joy and pleasure in life, which is certainly very much a part of what God wants us to have.
Trusting God is a willingness to turn over the control of your life to Him as your Father. Faith isn't just believing there's a God. Even Satan knows there's a God. We must believe that His way works. All of us have been kidnapped and convinced that the kidnapper has a better way of life. God wants to change your life for the better. We'll be right back after this message.
In a world of pain, conflict, and destruction, how can you explain so much evil? After all, is there really a devil? You need to understand the unseen source of human suffering. Make sense of our world by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil?
At the beginning of the program, we talked about a little girl who was kidnapped and left in an outhouse until she believed that that's where she lived. All of us have been kidnapped by Satan, and we believe that the outhouse He built for us is where we should live life. God wants to reach down and pull you up to a better life. You know, you keep hoping life will get better, have more purpose, but you feel like a victim. It's time to reject the lies of the victim and return to your Creator. He can change your life. You can't keep using the same solutions. You'll just keep getting the same results. There is a practical way to live, and the first step is to ask God for direction. Start to read your Bible and order your free copy of Is There Really a Devil? Don, thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Gary.
When you're looking to understand your future, remember this program. Please join us next week for another edition of Beyond Today, and thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.